Remember when celebrity pastor Mike Todd spit a loogie in his brother's face during a sermon illustration? In a recent podcast with Rich Wilkerson, Mike Todd speaks about this viral moment and the backlash that came to him as a result of it, and he gets dangerously close to a self-aware moment, but yet so far.
I wouldn't have done the example if I would have known it would have made people distracted, but I had not factored in that the platform had grown to the place where I wasn't just talking to people who knew my heart. I was talking to people who had hate in their heart.
Today on the show, I'll try to show you why this incident is indicative of a much broader issue in the modern day church and why it matters to you, even if you're not a Christian. We'll talk about that and more today on Indie Thinker. Welcome to the show. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Did you know that Indie Thinker is right now in the process of filming a full feature documentary about the fatherlessness epidemic that we are experiencing in America right now? The breakdown of the nuclear family is statistically higher now than it has ever been, and I wanted to do something about that. So we are creating a film that will expose what is causing fatherlessness in America. Here's just a small snippet of the trailer. Long gone are the days of Andy Griffith, the ideal representation of a father on TV.
Your mother and I send you to college to get an education, not to party hardy.
And now, the fathers on TV look way more like Homer Simpson than they ever do Andy Griffith.
Now, what were we talking about, boy?
So how did we get here?
It's the rejection of the wisdom of the past.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Who is that guy so articulate, so profound, sitting with Dennis Prager? Well, of course, that was me. And after Dennis begged me to be in the film, I finally relented and said, fine, you can be in the film. Now, all jokes aside, there is a bunch of people like Dennis, high-profile thought leaders in our country that you need to hear from on this subject. So in order to see the full trailer and even to help financially support this film so that we can finish it, you need to subscribe to our newsletter. You can do that by going to the link on the screen, or you can go to the description of this podcast where you can access not only Indie Thinker extras, but the newsletter that will help you see the full feature trailer to our documentary Fatherless and give you an opportunity to help support the great work that we're doing here at Indie Thinker. Many of you will be familiar with the term bread and circuses. It's a phrase that was coined during the decline of Roman civilization. And it's meant to convey this idea that rather than to come up with substantive answers or to come up with policies that could help Roman culture go back to its glory days, rather the people would be satisfied with a palliative. They would be satisfied with bread, simply food, and circuses, entertainment. That rather than to truly address what was going on in society, they just simply wanted distractions. So the reason I bring this up in the context of what we're talking about today is that I think we are very much in a situation in society today where we desire entertainment, we desire palliatives, we desire distractions more so than we do to focus on what's really going on. And I don't think we're too late to actually address what's going on and to do something about it, but there will come a time where we are too late. And that's why it's important for us to pay attention. And that's why I'm talking about Mike Todd today. I believe that Mike Todd is a kind of representation of bread and circuses ministry that's going on in the modern day church today. Now, I've been reliably informed in the podcast we're going to talk about today between Mike Todd and Rich Wilkerson that if I use Mike Todd's face and put it on the thumbnail for my YouTube video, which I am going to do, then I'm simply trying to exploit Mike Todd's popularity, and I don't have my own popularity, so I'm just using him in order to have clickbait. Now, I find that Rich coming from a guy that has consistently exploited his platform as a pastor in order to do the most egregious and ridiculous and immature things you can possibly think of, not the least of which is this.
No, not this black thing. Today is watermelon. I don't want this. Use my cape.
There we go.
Gotta be on brand. Thank you, Jesus.
Right there on that stage, we're literally looking at a man dressed as a clown to get laughter, to elicit laughter from a group of people. Now, you might say to yourself, well, in an isolated scenario, what's the big deal? If this was just one pastor, fine. But I think rather Mike Todd is kind of the poster child for much of what is going on today in Christian ministry, where in the past we had serious men of God who could grapple with serious issues and truly address the things that were going on in culture from a Christian perspective. We are now given this kind of sideshow ministry very often in churches today. And I think that we can still do something about it, and that's why I bring it up today. Now, I'm very well aware of the fact that I run a risk here of really losing a lot rather than to actually gaining a lot. But I believe what I can gain is far worth the risk. So there's going to be people who watch this and say, well, I'm just being hateful toward Mike Todd. I'm just being an opportunist, and I'm just trying to figure out a way to create a show that will get people who already don't like Mike Todd to watch it. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's not what I'm after. Or simply that I'm some kind of doctrinal watchdog. I'm not just an opportunist, but I'm a Pharisee that just wants to take the worst possible interpretation of Mike Todd and put it on display for the world to see. And rather, I think I've worked very hard today to build not only this show, but also this channel to try to be as honest as I possibly can. Now, not everybody is going to agree with that, and that's fine. You're entitled to be wrong. However, I do believe that if we are willing to do what we have so rarely done in the church in the past, which is to be honest, to ask questions, to be willing to point the finger at ourselves, that perhaps we can actually gain a lot from that. And so today, I want to show you a podcast between Rich Wilkerson and Mike Todd, and I want you to hear what he has to say about the backlash that came after he spit a loogie all over his brother's face. So let's jump into it.
A person got up to introduce me, and they basically said, today your guest speaker is going to be a guy that we found through one of the youth.
Through one of the youth.
He's coming. Come on, sir.
Stop.
Didn't even say my name. And didn't even.
Tell me how you come up. Tell me how you come up. You come up. You grab that mic. What do you do?
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Give God some praise in this place. Like, I mean, you could tell.
Make some noise.
You could tell that she was mad that they had to give me $6 to get there. Like, and she didn't know my name. She didn't know nothing. And it was just, it was a beautiful moment to remember why I was there. It was not for anybody.
Them saying we got from one of our youth. It's like, nah, like, that ain't how the story went. That sounds like suspect, bro. Yes. Like, no, like, I don't know the youth.
From the guy that we got from what we found from one of the youth.
This is a true story, and I don't think he'll mind me sharing it because I love him so much, but Jensen Franklin, true story.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I ever told you a story. Now we're just calling people out right off the bat, you know? Jensen Franklin. No, who I love and admire. But years ago, I got invited to speak with Don Cherie. Let's get that. Don Cherie and I are both going to Orange County Free Chapel to preach at the women's conference.
Okay.
Let's be honest. They want Don Cherie.
Yeah, they don't want you.
I don't know how I get on the bill.
Got you.
But I'm going with Don Cherie. My wife gets pregnant. She got in, you know, she got invited a year out. She's in her whatever third trimester. She can't travel. So we politely go, hey, Don Cherie can't go to the women's conference. So we won't be coming. They're like, hey, we would actually love to have Pastor Rich come. Anyways, and I'm like, why would they want me alone? But I'm like, all right, you know, if Pastor Jensen wants me to come, I'll do anything he wants me to do. So I fly out. In fact, I think Gene's here somewhere. He was with me. Show up to the women's conference, walk in. It's like 1,000 ladies. It's like pumping, you know. I walk in. There's no guys in there. It's all ladies. I come to the front row, and I'm sitting next to Jensen. I'm like, how are you, Pastor? How are you? He goes up on the stage to, like, host. I don't think he was supposed to host. I kind of got the feeling maybe, like, he kind of, like,
last
gotta
minute.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes up there, and he's kind of on the stage, he's kind of like warming it up, and he has to introduce me. He's like, well, tonight we've got a wonderful guest. We've got, this is a great young man of God, and I've known him for years. His family, we love them. Their ministry, we've sown into their ministry. He's a preacher. I mean, he can preach. He's going to bring a word tonight, and I really sense the Lord's going to use him in a mighty way, and he's about to come up here, and what is your name?
Okay, so we get Rich and Todd saying that when they first started off in ministry, nobody knew who they were, and people either mispronounced their name or didn't even know what their name was when they were speaking at churches. All I can tell you is if that is the bona fide kind of indication that you're a man of humility and your heart is in it for the right reasons, then I am the Miles Davis of Christianity. I worked for a celebrity pastor for 2 years. And when he was saying goodbye to me after I was stepping away from my position and was saying goodbye to me in front of the congregation, he totally mispronounced my name. So after working for the dude for 2 years, didn't even know my name. So needless to say, perhaps we need a different kind of litmus test for what real ministry looks like and what true Christianity looks like. Perhaps the ability to rationally discuss the Christian faith from a faith perspective and not just a hyper faith movement that we've been accustomed to. Perhaps somebody with a bit of an understanding of how to really truly grapple with ideas would be good. But rather, we have here, I think, what is the slight indication of part of the problem. Now, they're just having fun here, and that's perfectly fine. But throughout this whole interview, I think you're going to hear them just kind of give you an indication of where they're coming from in terms of what ministry looks like to them. So is it enough just to be superiorly humble to truly be qualified as a minister? And to that, I would say that's a prerequisite I would offer, but certainly not enough. But let's keep going to hear what else they have to say.
Base in that place, they'll remember the name you come in.
Come on.
Like when I went to that youth gathering and the lady didn't know my name and all that, by the end of it, she knew my name and she knew who I represented. And so I think sometimes it's a check in your heart and in your mind and even for your so-called status to be able to be introduced not by your name, but by God to a platform so that you can actually impact that place for his name.
Amen.
And so sometimes I wish more people would get introduced without their name, because actually the fruit of what has happened in your life could actually show. But a lot of people, the name means a lot.
Well, like the last, like, let's call it 5-7 years, you've had such a massive worldwide like recognition. People know you. If we're out places in Miami, wherever we're at, it's like people come up, Pastor Mike, they know you. I am kind of curious, like as you kind of go back, like your journey of speaking, ministering, what is, that's another level of pressure. It's one thing to kind of go, no one knows your name, and you kind of come up and it's like, all right, cool. Like there ain't no expectation.
Yeah.
I got something to bring. It's another thing, like people don't teach on this. What does it feel like when there's massive expectation on you? Tell me about that a little bit. Like now that you go places and people do know your name, how have you been able to handle, or how do you handle, how do you walk through that? Do you feel an added pressure now being as known as you are?
So I'll answer the question twofold. Number one, I've always prepared the same. Mm. So when there was four people in a circle, I always brought energy. I always felt like I was giving my best. I would always sweat out of my suits. I would always like, I've always thought and brought what I thought was best, because I heard a scripture a long time ago that said, everything you do as unto the Lord. Mm. So like, people say that stuff, but I always had this like intuition to just act like God's there. Act like he's
good.
He wants this to be this many people. Because if he wanted to be more people, he could make it have more people.
Yeah.
But he wanted this event to have 7 people. He wanted this thing to have 50 people. He wanted this thing at this time, for whatever reason, to have 100 people.
Now, this is great too, fair enough. But I do have a question underneath all of this. Is Mike Todd still going to meetings where there's 50 people, 20 people, 10 people? Is he still going to that small country church to try to minister to them because he just believes it's God and 10 people? Or has he somehow graduated beyond that and thinks that somehow now that is beneath him? I think we know the answer to that.
So it's the flip side of it, it's funny. And interesting, maybe is a better word, watching people respond to how I do what I do, because they think now that it's on a big platform, that's why I'm doing it. I have video, I have tapes, I have pictures of me doing the exact same thing. I'm extra any room I walked in. I was extra with $2. I'm extra with $2,000. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it is who I am, and that's why I encourage people so much to be who God's created you to be before anybody knows who you are.
I'd rather know who Jesus is any day of the week, but also this. He says, people think that now that I have a big platform that I'm clowning and doing all these illustrations that we'll get to in just a moment, and that you potentially have already seen at the beginning of the show. They think that now, because I've got this big platform, I'm doing this to maintain the platform. But rather, I've been doing that from the very beginning. Now, herein is a huge problem. The fact that Mike Todd has not grown beyond any of that stuff that he did when he was early on in his ministry surely should be an indication to us of something. And it is for this reason I blame Mike Todd for a lot of the backlash that has come to him. Now, he can blame whoever he wants to for it, and he probably will. He doesn't need my permission to do it. But I blame Mike Todd for clowning himself on stage because he has desired to do it and hasn't seen that perhaps the stuff I was doing when I was a youth minister is not fitting now that I am an adult minister preaching to a bunch of adults. Perhaps there should be a little bit of personal progression beyond that. But then I also want to be fair here. I don't just blame Mike Todd. Part of what we're seeing in the Mike Todd phenomenon and kind of clownish pastors with very youthful and immature illustrations on stage is that Mike Todd is merely giving the people what they want. Bread and circuses is something that the people demanded, therefore the emperor gave it to them. So there's a sense in which I kind of don't blame Mike Todd for merely giving people entertainment rather than truth and rather than rock hard solid gospel and rather than helping people grapple with what's going on in the world today. I don't blame him because there is a sense in which he is merely giving what the people want. He's supply and demand. And I'm a free market capitalist just like the next guy. And I think to a degree, you should give people what they're asking for. And if people want it, then, you know, there's a market for it. So give it to them. But the problem with that is this, is that there is a market for only fans. There's a market for people who want that kind of smut and filth in their life. And should we give it to them? No. The answer to that kind of stuff is to say, what we should be doing is not just catering to the venial desires of people, but trying to help them see that they are better than those things. So again, I blame Mike Todd, but I also don't blame him because I don't know that he has the maturity to kind of see that. He's merely giving the people what they demand. And the problem is that that's what we're demanding. By and large, we want entertainment rather than rock solid truths that can fundamentally change our life. All right, let's jump into a little bit more.
I think what you're talking about though, that like is really important because the word that the Lord's really given me that I'm just focused on is just maturing, which is just the idea of growing.
Yes, sir.
This year I have to grow in areas that I didn't grow in last year for me.
I would say 100% yes to this. This is what I'm asking for throughout this podcast. But what I don't find is the kind of emotional awareness, the intellectual honesty to realize that some of the maturity issues that Rich Wilkerson is talking about right there are actually showing up on Sunday mornings on stage at Mike Todd's church. We don't get that from him as we go a little bit further through this.
To carry all the things God's called me to carry. And what you're speaking about when it comes to the people around you, you as a free, mature, secure human being, what that does is you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And so quickly, you're not threatened by somebody else's authentic self or their different style or their different, it's because of the security that you carry. And I think, you know, whenever I talk about you to people, I'm always saying I've never met somebody who walks in contentment and really security like Mike Todd. Wow.
All right, so here's my question right there. Is, yeah, I realize that people can criticize you. People criticize me. I have a podcast and I'm on YouTube and people love the comment section. Trust me, I get it. I understand it. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. They're just not entitled to their own facts. But how do we distinguish between somebody who is a mindless troll and a critic or somebody who is pinpointing something that actually needs to be addressed and something that needs to be heard? Well, that's when we need intellectual honesty and the kind of genuine desire for truth that we don't see, I think, in Mike Todd throughout this podcast as we continue listening.
If you put your name on the internet, definitely. It's not just your sermons. It's like people out there really, really upset with you. Yeah. How do you deal with that?
So let me give you 30,000 foot version and the detailed version of it. Number one, I didn't expect it. Like, you know me, like, I walk into every room, I think everybody loves me. And if you don't, you're gonna love me before the end of this night. Like, I come in arms wide open, like, what's up? What's your name? How you doing? Like, and my heart posture has always been pure. Like, I've never given anything to anybody and think, like, what am I getting out of this? Like, I've never, like, caught, like, that's not who I am. So,
yeah.
my superpower is authenticity and vulnerability. So part of what I've done since God has given me a platform is say stuff on the platform that most people won't say, be transparent about where I'm really at. And when people know your heart, it's safe. Well, somewhere about 2.5 years ago, like I didn't know how large the platform had grown. I was unaware. I wouldn't even let that stuff in.
So this is going to factor in just a moment, but I want to stop right there real quick and just say this. Mike Todd is saying that he didn't factor in how big his platform had gotten because he didn't want to be vain. He didn't want to be stuck on himself. Now, so he's just so humble, he didn't recognize how big he was getting, really. Or you didn't care because you enjoyed the ride.
That's like a vanity thing, even though we know we're reaching people. It's like that doesn't, so I just didn't really pay attention to that stuff. But as that stuff continued to grow and go, and people then looking at social media, and people then evaluating what I dress, and people evaluating who I hang around, and all the different things, and I'm pretty much oblivious to it until the spit hit the fan. So I do an example that I've done 3 times before. Done it at another huge church where most people think that the only example of Jesus using spit to heal somebody was when he used it and put it in mud. But there's another example in Mark where he spit and he rubbed it on a man's eyes and the man was healed. And I was trying to make the example of if your healing is messy and you knew it was going to be messy, would you still be willing to go through the process to receive your healing? And my heart behind it was I knew many marriages that wouldn't go to counseling because they knew counseling was going to be messy. But if on the other side of it, you knew that your marriage was going to be healed and your children would be raised with their parents, would you do it? There were many people. So I'm trying to bring the example.
This is home. The motivation behind
this it. This is the motivation behind it. And so, again, and I've done it two times before. This is the third time. And so my brother Brent, which you know Brent, I mean, he's ride or die. Like, this is my actual blood little brother. He's like, you already know, like, I'm down to do whatever example you down to do. So call him up, do the example. Church, people crying, people, like,
in church it goes good.
Oh, my God. It's phenomenal. Like, it's like the power of God everywhere. And so me and Nat, we're headed to a little staycation at the hotel. I'm tired. Go to sleep. My phone's blowing up. And somebody texts and was like, yo, like, the message is going viral on TMZ. And I'm like, glory to God. Like, God is about to take this message to the world. God, because anytime up until that point.
I love you so much, bro.
Anytime up until that point, if something went viral, it was good. And so it was like, yeah, like, all right, glory to God. I went back to sleep. And then my chief of staff texts me and she's like, Mike, you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm great. Like, what are you talking about? And she was like, and then she told me what was going on. TMZ, CNN, all these other things, like, going nuts. And I'm like, yo, what is...
What is the feeling that you have when you hear that? Scared?
No. I feel angry, if I'm honest.
Angry.
Because it was misinterpreted. It felt like an enemy coming in and taking the worst part of something and then presenting it to people as if this is who you are. So it would be like me, like, seeing somebody litter and then, like saying, this person doesn't care about the environment. This person hates the ozone. This, like, and then, like, introducing them to other people as, like, and that was the furthest thing from, like, I wouldn't have done the example if I would have known it would have made people distracted. But because I'd done it 2 times before and it really connected, I thought, oh, like, this has worked. Let's keep going. But I had not factored in that the platform had grown to the place where I wasn't just talking to people who knew my heart. I was talking to people who had hate in their heart.
All right, so there we are. People hate Mike Todd, and that's why they responded the way they did when he spit in his brother's face. Not just a little bit of spit, but like a big old nasty spit.
I'm wet!
in order to perform a sermon illustration about Jesus using mud to heal a man. Now, I noticed that the illustration was intact, at least in part, while missing most of the meaning, but none of the healing was there, which might actually make a difference in this scenario. But suffice to say, what I found very interesting about that clip is the lack of awareness that Mike Todd showed while he was explaining what took place. People don't hate you, Mike. That's not why people responded the way they did. It wasn't that they have hate in their heart. It wasn't that they didn't realize how many people were touched by the illustration in the sermon that day. I'm sure to a degree that there's a bit of truth to that. It's not that we don't know how to give you a charitable interpretation for what you were trying to do. We understand that your motives were pure. At least I 100% think that your motives were pure in what you were trying to do, but that isn't the problem. The problem is that the illustration that Mike Todd used shows us two things. One, that Todd is not mentally fit nor spiritually mature enough to lead the platform that he has built. Now, some of you will say, well, then why did God bless him with such a big platform? And I would just ask you, do you really believe that the size of a church is the indication of how blessed somebody is by God? Do you really think that that's true? I would rather argue this, that man makes the platform, but God makes the man. And perhaps the platform has gotten bigger than Mike Todd's character. And this is why we see him doing the kind of things that he's doing, or at least why we see that he hasn't grown beyond what he started doing very early on in his Christian ministry. Mike here makes an implicit admission. He's telling us as much. He didn't have the basic wisdom to realize that his platform had become so big and what that meant to the world. Well, what would you call that other than immaturity? We all seem to realize more than Mike that whether he meant to represent Christianity to the world or not, he does. And it is only right for people to demand more from those who achieve the highest office in the land. You may not have bargained for that, but here we are. You've built it, and now it's time to step to the plate and be the man that God has called you to be. If you didn't want the heat, you shouldn't have gotten in the kitchen. More importantly, here's the rub, and not the spit rub, but you can do something about this, Mike. You can turn from the boyish behavior that you grew up with, and you can pursue depth and more Christ-centered apologetics and help people achieve spiritual depth. You and your colleagues have overseen one of the shallowest eras in church history. More people are biblically illiterate than ever before, and you should have to have some responsibility for that. It's not all on you, but you can do something about it. You can get your Boaz out of the TMZ headlines and you can start making real news. You can quit with the stripper talk.
We don't make it rain on strippers.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
The only stripper I'm in love with is Jesus.
Bro, I'm out, man.
With the trans idiocracy.
Trans is in the title. Transformation, you can be here.
And with the booty jokes.
Friends, I don't have a fatty.
Bro, we keep telling you it's okay.
It's not too late. And if you do that, the world will be a better place when you leave it behind. Now, the second thing is this. Performative ministry chases clout. It doesn't change culture. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We are presently living in a time where we need godly men to step to the plate so that we can address what is going on in culture. And all these kind of sermon illustrations may make for a good laugh on Sunday morning, but let me tell you what they don't do. They don't keep people from being so deceived by gender ideology that they march into clinics and then start chopping on their body, thinking that if they do chop on their body, it will give them the existential meaning that they need in this life. We need pastors who can rightfully stand up on the pulpit flat-footed and tell a world desperately seeking for meaning that you won't find it in transgenderism. You won't find it in homosexuality. You won't find it in sexual identity, period. The culture is telling you that you'll find it in some form of activism and social justice warrioring, but you won't find it there. All you'll find there is pale forms of real mission and purpose and meaning in life. And this is not what we're getting from pastors like Mike Todd. They have the biggest and most prominent platforms in Christianity today, and we get nothing like that. We don't get them dogging abortion and talking about how much it's ravaging black communities. None of that. I'm going to show you on the screen right now a clip of a scene from a high school that went viral last week, and this is of children sucking the toes of adults, I'm assuming teachers, in a local high school in Oklahoma. Now, this is what we're dealing with as a culture, where we have a group of immature people who can sit back and watch this kind of stuff and not have a problem with it whatsoever. A young Christian woman invaded the comment section on this post that I put on Instagram, and I went to her bio, and in it, it says that she is a Jesus-loving individual. And this is what she said in her post, or in her comment, forgive me. This is just funny and normal. It's not bad intended. It's actually for a good cause. And yes, they were raising money by allowing these children to suck the toes of adults. But this is my problem, is that when we should have pastors who are addressing the kind of immaturity going on in our society today, the refusal to grow up, we get this kind of stuff from Mike Todd.
Syrup all over the communion. Don't care so much. Over the Bible too. Y'all stop acting like you care about this.
Is that really what our most prominent pastors have to offer? Does the church not deserve more than that? One hammer in the hand of a monk hammering a piece of paper to a door in a church changed the world forever. One man writing the Summa changed philosophy and Christian history forever. Dietrich Bonhoeffer risked his life to preach and to teach the gospel in the face of Adolf Hitler and sought to daringly assassinate him, and he paid the ultimate price. Christians were crucified upside down, sawn in half, burned alive, and more, just because they wanted to translate the Bible in different languages. And they took the word of God to foreign lands where they offered their life as a willing sacrifice to reach people for Christ. But Mike Todd and his cronies seem to have very little regard for that kind of real sacrifice and standing up for truth in that way. Is this what we've become? Is the immature shenanigans of Mike Todd harmless fun or an indication that we are our own worst enemy in the church? Should we not remind ourselves that, yes, Jesus used illustrations, but avoided distractions at all costs, healing in secret and telling people what I just did? Don't tell anybody about it, because I refuse to turn Christian ministry into a sideshow. If we can leave the parlor tricks behind and become what we were truly meant to be, the future in America will be bright. But for that to happen, some of our most important leaders in the Christian church today are going to have to turn away from their immature ways. All right, that's all the time we have for today. If this video was beneficial to you, I'd love to hear from you down in the comments section. If nothing else, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, and go with God.